The Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. We are smoking up Michigan from Ann Arbor to Traverse City and everywhere in between. Get out in your backyard, fire up that grill, put on a great piece of meat, and enjoy your Saturday. And we are here to give you tips and techniques and all kinds of great information about how to do that. And right now, we have the pleasure of having a special guest on the show, a world-renowned sportsman, guide, cook, and all of that. Bob, who are we going to be talking to?
It's Babe Winkleman. Good morning, Babe.
Good morning.
Hey, good talking to you, man.
Oh, thanks. And you guys say put a piece of meat on that grill and make sure it's pheasant, venison, moose, something.
That's how we roll. So, did you get my email this morning? I'm wanting to talk a little bit about the rut. And, you know, I've been talking about that back and forth over the last week. But I sent you another email this morning, somebody else's opinion. Wanted to just get you riled up, really. But
I didn't check emails this morning.
Yeah, well, I sent, that's okay. No big deal. I just, you know, wanted to further explore this, the whole science behind, you know, for those guys out there getting ready to climb into a tree, get their tents out, the whole science behind the rut and all that with the moon, sun, seasons.
Well, first, there's a couple of myths to the rut. Everybody thinks it takes place in November for about 2 weeks, and everybody thinks it's triggered by cold weather. And neither one are even close to the truth. Yes, there's a rut cycle in November, and yes, it is the strongest rut cycle. But that can start earlier and does start earlier. You know, you get out in the woods, like right now, a couple of weeks ago, I was bow hunting. Most of the does, fawns, were about the same size as the doe. Some of them I seen were smaller, and I seen one doe that had two spawns with spots on it yet. They were obviously born 2-3 months later. And guys see that every year, but it doesn't dawn on them that, well, for them to be born 2 or 3 months later, they were bred 2 or 3 months differently. And that's the thing. There are several factors that trigger the rut. One of them is moon periods. And the second full moon after the autumnal equinox, September 21st, is the rutting moon. And depending upon where that moon in September falls will make a big difference on how the rut starts. The biologists tell me that in September and October, on an average year, there's somewhere between 5 and 15% of the does that get bred in those 2 months. I have a whole series of pictures of an 8-point buck in velvet breeding a doe on the 14th of September from about 5 years ago at the ranch. Just happened to do it in front of one of my cuttybacks. But there's not a lot of activity. This year is very little. But there's still scraping in September. There's intensified scraping in October, and more of them come into heat then. And then into November is the major period, and then it continues on into December on the next set of moons, and sometimes into January and February, depending. Here's the factor. The reason people think cold weather is what triggers the rut is because when it gets real cold during the November rut, you see deer running all day long. But it's not the cold weather causing that, it's the cold weather allowing that. Bob, a deer has a lot more difficult time keeping cool than they do warm.
Okay, if you're listening in Traverse City, in Ann Arbor, Flint, Lansing, Benton Harbor, it's the Grillin' Guys, and you're listening live right now to Babe Winkleman from Brainerd, Minnesota, and we're breaking down the rut. So thanks again for joining us, Babe. Randy has a question for you. Randy has a question for you.
Hey, Babe, tell me what the significance of a scrape is. You know, you see those generally here in our farm country. They're on a fence row. They're under a tree that's hanging over. It's usually about 5 feet. There's a branch about 5 foot off the ground. There seems to be a scrape underneath that. What is that? What's the whole science and chemistry behind all of that?
Well, it's the deer communication is what it basically is. I mean, they don't say things very loud like a moose or an elk, so they can hear one another for rutting. So they do most of theirs by smell. And a scrape is something a buck makes. He digs it down, scrapes it off with his front paws, and they've got glands on their hooves and glands in other places. And once he digs the scrape down, then he puts his back legs together and he pees on his tarsal glands. And he puts his scent down on that scrape. He generally makes the scrape underneath a tree where now he can reach up and rub the glands from his face on that tree. And it's every deer has got a different scent, so it allows a doe to identify that particular deer. And a buck can identify a particular doe by the scent of her urine and stuff, too. So,
kind of like deer cologne.
They use it to communicate, and it also a buck uses it to mark his territory. He'll have a scrape line. It won't just be one scrape, but he'll have scrapes on the outside of the territory that he's using right then. And any does in there, he's hoping they come across his scrape. If they're getting close, they then go pee on the scrape as well to let him know. He comes and checks his scrapes every couple days. When he smells that, then he goes off following and try to find that doe. So that's what all of it's about is communication, and it's communication about letting the bucks, or the bucks letting the does know that they're in that area, the does going on there and letting the buck know that they're getting ready.
You know, we had a bunch of spotted tongue disease in Michigan this year. Did you have any of that in Minnesota?
Spotted tongue disease?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Good.
We hope you don't. You what it was is it was a fly that bit the deer, and they got a fever in about 36 hours, and they basically cooked to death on the inside. We found them all along our rivers and lakes where...
Okay, that's not spotted tongue disease.
Okay.
That's internal hemorrhaging disease.
Okay.
Yes, you had a lot of that, and so did Ohio this year, and Kentucky, and Indiana, and Illinois. Southern Iowa got wiped. There's places in Nebraska and South Dakota that so many deer died this year that the states are asking the license holders to voluntarily return their license for a refund and not hunt. I mean, it's a devastating disease. It's caused by a gnat that gets up in their nose. It bites them. They bleed to death internally, and it takes about 3 days, and they just fall over wherever they're at.
Yeah, we got...
But it's a hemorrhaging disease. It's called internal hemorrhaging disease. There's a scientific name for it, too.
Yeah, I know. It's
and
like...
It's gnats that do it. You hear guys talk about blue tongue and other things, but no, it was a hemorrhaging disease this year, and it was very devastating in places.
Mm-hmm.
When you get stagnant water and heat is when those particular gnats breed.
Well, last time when I was texting you, when we were both in Kansas at the same time, sitting in our trees, kind of texting back and forth. Of course, you were a couple hours west of me. It was very hot. Did you guys end up knocking anything down out there?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Kurt Kaiser, friend that was hunting with me, killed the biggest whitetail of his life with a bow and arrow, and whitetail hunting with a bow was his passion. I passed on several of them, and the last day I found who I was looking for. And he's the buck was just a giant. He's a 180, a 190, huge, long tines, everything you could imagine. And he was about 80 yards through the trees, and I could not get a shot at him.
Well, right about...
But I am going back down there for 4 or 5 days in November when I get done out in Montana, and I'm going to slip back down and try and kill that one specific buck.
Yeah. This time of year, it's right now, from now on, the next 3 weeks in Kansas is going to be just wonderful. Those are just mules. Well, listen.
They're big deer down there, but it's going to go longer than that. If it's warm during the November rut period, if it's real warm, you won't see the deer rutting, and you don't think that they're rutting because they lay down, and they'll go and lay right down in the swamp in the water, try to keep cool enough. They've just gotten their winter hair, and if they run too much, they get way overheated.
Well, babe, we're up against a hard break on the network. We got to go. I'll see you tomorrow night. The state of Wisconsin has my number. I can't drive too fast, but I'll get there as quick as I can.
Sounds like a deal.
Keep one cold for me.
All righty.
Thanks.
Well, you guys have fun with the rut and grill something up good.
Okay, thanks, Babe. That's Babe Winkleman from Winkleman Outdoors.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about that, go to winkleman.com, W-I-N-K-E-L-M-A-N.com. Lots of great stuff on that website. You've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. Get out in your backyard. Fire up that grill. Get on that tailgate. Make it a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.